Today we're going to have some fun. I prepared a Brother David sermon today. I think I've got 42 pages of notes here. We're going to be talking about living a circumcised. Yeah, Ruth's like, there ain't no way he's getting through 42 pages of notes. No, I can't. There's no way I could. But it's amazing because these notes, and you can see I have some of it highlighted because we're going to touch on very particular ones. I have here, because we're talking about living a circumcised life in our homes, and I want to bring it down because we spoke about that on a broad scale, and now I want to bring it down to the individuals. I want to bring it down to the children, to our youth. I want to bring it down to the men and to the ladies and what this means to live the circumcised life. But like I said, we're going to have a little bit of fun today because I have 5 pages of verses that speak to the youth. Well, I can't do 5 pages of notes, so we're going to pick a couple. Then we're going to go to the men, and I have 10 pages of notes for the men. Okay, again, we're only going to do a couple. But if you heard how many I had total, you realize that 17 pages are for the women. I don't know. Ask the internet and talk to God. I guess he figures you need a little bit more. I have to laugh because Miss Marion, oh, she went back. She said to me the other day, she said, and this was so funny. She says, you know, this is pastors and pastors' wives. We tell jokes and they're not funny, but they are funny. Marion says to me, well, you do understand that God created man and said it was good. Yeah. She said, but then he said, I can do better. He created woman and said it's very good. We'll fix that problem in just a moment. But I want to have fun today. So I brought the funny papers. Because this is one of the things that I really want us to do at some point in time as we move forward and we vision forward is look at different ways of teaching people. How many people can connect with the newspaper? We can all connect with the newspaper, can't we? Because it's all local news, things happening in our world. How many of us can connect with satire? We all can connect with satire. Do you know what satire presupposes? And I think it's so funny because people don't want to admit it, but yet we have to if satire works. And we all understand satire. Satire presupposes a moral absolute. Ooh, ooh, ooh! Satire presupposes a moral absolute, that which everybody this day denies. But yet, the funny papers, that's what everybody goes to. When the Sunday paper comes, where do people go? To the funny pages. Okay? We may read our sports, we may do our, you know, because number one, we guys, you know, hey, we got to read the sports, we're manly. But guess what we take to the restroom with us? The funny papers, okay? Well, when I was reading this, I just thought to myself, oh my goodness, there are so many things in here, preachable moments. So we're going to talk to the kids first. So in that regard, and this is just kind of wonderful, I'm going to look at a youth satire, okay? It's down here, it's called Zits. Okay? Zits. I love it. Well, the son reaches in his pockets, okay? The first caption is the son reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out this crumpled up piece of paper, and he goes, ah! And he runs to his mom and says, my driver's license was in the jeans you just washed. And the mom turns her back to him and is walking away and says, well, maybe you should have emptied your pockets before you put it in the laundry. And the kid's sitting there holding the piece of paper like, I can't believe she just said that. And then he walks up and he's talking to one of his friends, you know, with all the piercings and the spiked hair and all that stuff. And he says, "My mom's starting to have trouble taking responsibility for my actions." And the other kid says, "Yeah, it's probably an aging thing." But what that presupposes is that kids today expect their parents to be responsible for everything that they do. How's that grab you, people? Because when I grew up, my derriere was responsible for everything I did, and I was jump-started with that thing many a time. Okay? My mother had a board of correction. It was a board. And it hung on the wall with a leather strap on it for her hand to wrap around, so in case she swung a little too hard, it would stay attached. And we understood responsibility. Today in our society, we don't understand responsibility. We don't understand that our actions have consequence. And our youth need to understand that, because I want you to understand something. When I look at these papers here, and we're going to start talking about these, one of the things I want you to understand is God has a way that is right. God has a way that is good. And he asks us all to walk in those ways. All right? So we need to look at him and say, "Lord, if I'm to be responsible, how am I to live?" Because I hate to tell you all this, for those of you young people out there, you know, and I hate to tell you this, but we're all young people out there. None of us are as old as God. He has existed from eternity past to eternity future. We're all kids. We think we got the answers. How many of you think you got all the answers? How many of you think you have enough answers to get through the rest of this unscathed? You better watch it, dude. That's a reality. So let's see what God has to say to us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to be in 13 and 14. Now, I'm going to read mine out of what I have here, because I pulled all this off the internet. I was having so much fun. I was laughing so hard while I was doing all this, because this stuff just, you know, it just really grabbed me. Because, you know, when we were little, okay, I'm talking to the adults now, even though we're going to be looking at the kids. First Corinthians 16, verse 13. When we were little, I can remember going into my dad's closet and getting out his big old work boots and putting them on my feet and clomping around the house. You know, I'm playing dad, right? Got my daddy's shoes on. They still don't fit. My daddy's shoes just still don't fit. I just realized I have a bigger daddy, okay? And I'm still clamoring around in it. So to you young men who are out there, that's who this goes out to. It says in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." Now, I don't know how yours reads. Like I said, I'm reading the ESV, all right? Because that's what this was in, and I wanted to capture these things in this other so that we have some difference here to look at. Because it says, act like men. You know, us kids, we all want to be growed up, don't we? We all want to be growed up, but yet we still want to be kids. We want to get away with everything. We want mommy and daddy to be responsible. That's zits, isn't it? We want mommy and daddy to be responsible, but yet we want to act all grown up. We want the driver's license, don't we? But we don't want the responsibility that comes along with it. Making sure that it's in my pocket when I'm in the car so I don't get a fine when the police officer pulls me over because I forgot to stop at that stop sign. Oh, I forgot that 55 meant that's how fast I'm supposed to go. You know, no. Jules is still growing up on that one. When we think about where we are and how we live, we need to understand that we are responsible. We need to understand that we are to act like men. Young men, you are to act like men. That means be a man in all that you are. All right? Take the responsibility. Don't be a child. Don't look the game, but play a different one. Get it all together. All right, God here understands who we are, and we can't play both sides of the game. You can only play one side. Okay? The next one that I want you to look up is Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and 12. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. So many children want that responsibility. Again, it's coming back here to the zits. And you know, we want that responsibility. Well, take the responsibility. God gives it to you, okay? Take the responsibility. Step out in faith. Grow in your territory. Ask God to increase your territory, and He will allow it. But then remember whose you are. 1 Timothy 4 and 12 says this, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Now, this is a very specific thing. We are told here that you just because you're young, don't let anybody talk down on you, right? You need to understand, if you're going to walk the walk, talk the talk, nobody can deny who and what you are. But that means you have to walk the walk, amen? Not just talk it, because boy, there's a lot of talkers out there in our world, but there's not a lot of walkers out there in our world. But when you walk, how are we to walk? And it's very clear, okay? We are to be an example for the believers in our speech. In other words, your mouth is only to speak truth. Your mouth is never to be harsh, all right? Your mouth is never to be filled with lies. Your mouth is always to speak truth. Because if all you do is speak truth when it's convenient and lies when it's not, you will be found out and no one will ever trust you. Hear those words. It's a harsh reality. Lie to me once, I never respect you after that. I'll love you and I'll forgive you, but I'm telling you as your pastor, I'll never respect you after that. But pastor, you're supposed to forgive everybody. Oh, I can forgive your lies, but that doesn't mean I'm going to respect you. Respect is something that has to be earned, amen? And if you've lied, you've told me I'm worth less because I'm not worth telling the truth to. So therefore, you've shown me your own value, your own worth. And that's where I will let you be. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You did this to me, so I'm going to let you lie where sleeping dogs lie, right? You want me to help pick you up? I will, but you've got to earn it. How do you earn it? Well, the scripture goes on here. It says, what? That we are to be an example in our conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Each and every one of us needs to understand, youth, young people, there is a way out there. This world is going to try and tell you that there are things to do, and it doesn't matter, and you can get away with everything. You don't get away with anything. Why do you think we get old and the body falls apart? Okay? Parents, how many of you now are suffering the dregs of youth? Because the dumb things we did younger catch up with you. Okay? We need to set an example. Because I think about it, you know, here Moses was. Moses walked a pretty upright life. How long did he live? 120 years, Miss Faye, you're right. And that without doctors and all the physicians and the things that we now have. And he still was strong. I mean, he climbed a mountain. The day he died, he climbed a mountain to look over Israel. And the only reason he died was because the Lord, what? It says right in there, the Lord took him. Okay? Now, he didn't get out alive. The Lord literally took him. It was time for him to go. So the Lord received him unto himself. Conduct yourself in such a worthy manner. Be considerate. Be loving. All right? Be loving. That means giving. Love does not take. What does love do? Gives. 100%. Not 50%. Not 30%. Not 10%. Love gives 100%. Kids, I'm talking to you. Youth, I'm talking to you. All right? You're to give without expecting anything back. Oh, there's a misnomer for you in our society, because we live in a society where everybody wants everything now for nothing. Kids, set that example. Be that reality in faith and in, oh, I love the last word, purity. Purity. Oh, my heavens. Is there any purity in our world anymore? I think there is. I think there is. I mean, here comes one right now. But how long does that last? When I was a teenager growing up, you know, it lasted till 16, 17, some kids 18. Today, 12, 13. It's sad. Because our world says, it's okay. That's the lie of the evil one. Next one I want you to look up. We're going to have some fun here. Proverbs 22 and 6. Proverbs 22 and 6. Proverbs 22 and 6. I love this scripture, and I'm going to quote it the way I know it, because, you know, this scripture's been in my being for a long time. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train a child up in the way they shall go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. Amen? Do you know that is the truth? Because if you look at our world, if you look at our society, and you look at non-Christian families who say, we're not going to teach our children about the Lord, we're going to allow them to make their own choices, right? It's amazing, because that child is trained up without any sets of moral values or moral absolutes that you know, you can make up your own mind, you can do, and those parents have so much trouble with those kids because they don't want to set boundaries. Well, we want them to experience life for themselves. Yeah. Well, how's that getting you? Okay, look at where our society is, because we've done that. God tells us that we are to train a child up in the way that they shall go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. That is a fact. You train a child up in the Lord, even though they may rebel against the Lord. I think that's the prodigal son. When they are old, when they get mature, they will come back to it. They will come back to it. Why? Because it makes sense. Because it protects. Because it loves. It hopes. And that's what we really need. So it's an amazing concept. Kids, get this stuff now. You may wander away. You may get out there and go to college and learn all kinds of new stuff. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay, believe me, the 60s brought it all out. Those of us from my generation understand that very well. And we're living in the repercussions of it right now. We really are. But it's time to get back to which is right, that which is right. So kids, look at your lives. Ask yourselves this. Do you want to be out there chasing after the things of this world and never achieving them? Or do you want to be looking to a God who knows everything about you, loves you exponentially, gave his life for you, has a plan for you, a purpose for you, and a design for you? And that plan and purpose is not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. Kids, there is so much that I could talk to you about. I mean, you know, I want you to write down just a couple of these because I want you to look them up. All right? I want you to look them up. You adults, too. 2 Timothy 2 and 22 says, I'll speak that again so you can write it down. 2 Timothy 2 and 22 says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, that presupposes that each and every one of us in our youth has evil desires. Guess what? We do. It's called lust. Lust of the eyes. Okay? We want everything our parents have. Oh, man, I got to have a car, Mom and Dad. You got to get me a car. Ah! You know who bought my first car? Me. My dad was the bank. Okay, he bought the car, I got the job, I paid him back every penny. All right? Now, it was an amazing setup because my parents bought a beautiful 1966 Ford white Mustang, red interior with a 302 Boss. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I had the car of every young kid's dreams. But the reality was, back then, it was just a Mustang. It's the car of everybody's dreams now. I wish I still had that car. But my dad bought that car for $50. $50. I paid him $250 for it. Because he wanted me to understand the principle of value. And I worked. And I paid him back. But do you think I wanted to do that? I just wanted Dad to give me that car. Why can't you just give me that car? You've got two cars. You don't need that car. Why can't you give me that car? We want everything our parents have. I think it's funny. How many of you kids have a cell phone? Ask your parents how old they were before they got one. Yeah, but they didn't exist at that time. That's tough. Till you can afford it, it shouldn't exist in your time. You see, we need to understand, we are not enabled simply because we exist, okay? We exist because of sin. That's the truth. We exist because of sin. Our parents sinned. Okay? Now, God wants holy offspring, so he brings Christians together, and hopefully they bring forth good offspring. But all the way back at the beginning, Adam and Eve, you know, they could have had kids in a holy wedlock, but they waited until sin. So guess how we were born? In sin. All right? Got to think this thing the whole way through. People were like, oh, what? What? Nope. Think it through. Think it through. So when you're conceived in sin. Sin is innate in you. How do we know that? I hate to say this, even little Eli there, okay? When he's hungry, does he just sit there and wait patiently? When he has a dirty bottom, does he just say, oh, when are they going to change me? Or does he let you know? Okay? We spoke about this earlier today. Dennis said, oh, man, what it would have been like to have one kid like Jesus. Sinless. And then all the rest of them, you know, that would have been like, something's going on here. Okay? Yes, we are born in sin. Our desire, God says it, from the time of youth is nothing but evil. Reckon with yourself, kids. Took me a long time to be able to do that. But then once I did that, then I was able to look beyond myself into the things of God and see that, you know what? I don't need that new fishing rod right now. You know, I need to take care of this. Okay? I don't need this TV. I need to take care of this. And this has always been my family, my bills, my responsibilities. Okay? Because I can live in debt to Christ who gives me freedom, or I can live in debt to the world that gives me death. Which do you want? That's really what it boils down to. One more for the kids, and then we're going to turn to the men. What time is it? Oh, last one for the kids. Sorry. Men, you're next. Back to the funny pages. Now, there's two of them on here, so I'm gonna use this one because we're going to talk about the old men. We're going to talk about the old men. There's one in here called Pickles. Okay? It's an old couple, elderly couple, and a lot of times their grandkids there with them. And the little grandkid, he walks into the grandma's kitchen, and of course, grandma's doing what all grandmas do. She's doing something at the kitchen counter, cutting up something she's cooking, right? All grandmas. Got to feed the kids, right? Got to feed the kids. So the little boy says, where's grandpa? Grandma says, he's on the sofa resting. Little boy walks in the living room, leans over the sofa. He's got his hands on there looking down at Grandpa, and he says, are you resting, Grandpa? Grandpa, laying there, eyes shut, just says, trying to. Little boy says, well, okay then. Rest in peace, Grandpa. Next caption shows Grandpa eyes wide open, and it's like, oh my gosh. And he's sitting up on the last one. He's sitting up on the edge of the couch, completely, totally alert. And he says, well, so much for resting. Do you realize, folks, that in the latest studies that have been done, you can check us out on the internet, if you live to be 84 years old, you spend one-third of your lifetime in bed. One-third. That's 23 years. The average, now this is worldwide, okay? Here in America, it's a little bit less. It said that we only get about 6 hours of sleep a night on average. But worldwide, it's an average of 8 hours, and that's actually what they recommend. But if you get that and you do that and you live to be 84, you have spent 23 years of your life asleep. How much more time do you need? Okay? We need to understand we only have so much time in this world. So let's take advantage of it. Because once this life is over, we can't get a redo. This is not Nintendo. There is no reset button on this thing. I've been searching for it, and I can't find it. That restarts my brain, not my life. Yeah, that one's been tapped many. I don't think it works anymore. It's like hitting the snooze button too many times. It's in permanent off. So when you think about it, guys, okay, we need to take care of what we need to take care of now before it gets all gone, don't we? And that's my point of this satire. So we need to understand where we are. Turn to Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Because God has a lot to say to us as men of faith, okay? And He wants us to grow in the grace that He has given us. And He wants us to be truly the example of Himself in this world. Because, you know, let's face it, guys, we call God our eternal Father. And if you have children, there are young people that are going to be looking up to you as a father figure, which then you are to point to their heavenly Father. So we need to be that example. So from Psalms 1, 1 through 6, we read these words. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen. When we, guys, start getting this right, and we walk not in the counsel of the wicked, when we seek godly counsel, all right? I hate to say it, we are not an island. No man has ever been set on this earth to go it alone except one. And his name was Jesus Christ. God, that was able to happen. And we praise God for him because we need each other to get through this and we need him. Amen. We need to understand that there's another principle that comes into place, and that is Proverbs 27 and 17, where it says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now, if that is true, the converse is also true. If that man is a man of God and we are rubbing against him, he will sharpen us and bring us to the point where we are a deadly force against evil in our world. But if that man that we are rubbing up against is nothing but a blunt object, and by that I mean a person filled with sin and stuff and strife from this world, we too are going to become a blunt object. Because you can't make something sharp off of something that is dull. Now, I think that is so amazing. Because I don't know about you, but in my kitchen, I have this round piece of steel. And if I rub my knives on it, it makes them puppies sharper than sharp. I mean, you know, I can fillet a hair. So how does that round piece of steel make that knife so sharp? Well, you see, here's what I want you to understand. That round piece of steel has hundreds of hardened lines up along it. And every one of those lines is sharp. And it's called a file. And as you run that against there, those knife blades on the round bar sharpen the big flat blade on the knife because it's softer metal. Okay? God has tempered the one to sharpen the other. The more mature are to sharpen those who are softer, who don't have all the understanding. Ooh, there's a concept for you. Okay? And I hate to tell you this, but there are going to be times I'm 54. My wife keeps correcting me. I keep wanting to say I'm 53. And she's like, no, you got a year older, Rich. I don't want to get a year older. She says, I'm 56, so you have to be 54. Isn't that right? That's right. 32 years we've been together, right? Very good. And don't you forget it. Brother Bob, how old are you?
42.
No, see, his wife told him. Can you learn things from me? But the amazing thing is, Bob, so too can I learn from you. Because there are going to be places in your life where you are the steel and I am the softer knife. Because of the things in your life that you've been through, you can teach me things just as I can teach you. We need to understand where and how that principle works. Okay, we need to search out those men. This is where it says that we are to not stand in the counsel of the wicked or in the way of sinners. But we need to find those people who can help to sharpen us where we're weak. Okay, the scripture also says that we are to bear one another's burdens. This is another way of putting that. That as believers, as we men carry each other, we can strengthen one another, that we can become more and more and more the man of God that He wants us to be, to become the image of Christ Jesus here on earth. Okay? All of this, you know, isn't this neat? You know, Pastor, you know, this is just so cool. How are you getting all this out of comic strips? Well, this is funny because I was already preparing this, and this is last week's comics. So God gave me the illustrations after I had the sermon already. Wait till I get to the ladies. You're going to love the ladies. Because it's just so much fun. But guys, let's do another one here, okay? 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. And then we got to get on the ladies. Can't let the ladies off the hook. Okay? Can't let the ladies off the hook. You said that, sis, not me. She said, and I'll say that for the internet, that would be a sermon in itself. Oh, I love her honesty. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I gave up childish things. Ladies, truth be told, let's talk about your hubbies. How many of them measure up to that mark? I don't see any hands going in the air. I see some pretty wide remarks being looked at back and forth, but we won't get into that. We all are children within ourselves. We still have our own desires and our longings. God says, get rid of them. That's what this is talking about. Jesus says, if you would come after me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Deny the things of this flesh, of this world. We need to grow up, guys. We need to stop having, you remember I told you the other week about my sister who would throw herself down on the floor in the Hills department store and start screaming, and my mom would look at her and walk away. You know, there were times when people would say, what's wrong with her? I don't know, she ain't mine, and she'd walk off. Or one lady said to her, does she need a doctor? And mom said, if she don't get up soon, she's gonna. You know, I just love that kind of stuff. But, you know, guys, we do that Because we go to our wives and we tell them all our grand ideas. You know, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And the wife says, but honey, we have to pay this bill and this is coming up. And you need to, and we're like, Maybe not quite like that, but Pete's back there saying, yeah. Now, for you guys that aren't married, praise Jesus. But you still have to be responsible, don't you, Whitey? There's a single man right here I love and respect because the man thinks clear. He thinks about others. He thinks about how he can help. Now, I'm not saying Whitey's perfect. We all know he's not. He's a brother in the flesh, amen? But he's also a brother in the spirit that gives us that ability to move forward. And we all need that. And I respect him. Because he is a man of faith. And he doesn't have that helper there, okay? And that's actually the first scripture that we're going to look at for the ladies. But guys, we need to take off the Pampers pull-ups and put on our big boy britches. Wait till we get to the next one. You need it. Oh, you need it. This is so funny. God is so cool. I just love him. Miss Amy's like, oh, no. Oh, yes. Because when we pull up our big boy britches, guess who's there to help us walk in them? Dad. He'll train us up. He'll give us the hope. He'll give us the wisdom. He'll give us the knowledge. But we have to learn to go to Dad, don't we, guys? We need to learn to seek him out. And when we seek him out, he'll give us what we need. We don't have to make it ourselves. Dad has it. But we have to ask. And he wants us to use it, not just for ourselves, but for others. That's something we all have to learn. Amen. There's so much that God wants us to do to live that life. Ladies, it's your turn. Now, I like this one because this one's called Baby Blues. It's in the back, and it's a mom and dad with a young family, okay? And I was going to use this for the guys, but then I realized, oh, wow, this is, it could be used for either one, but this is really good for the ladies. So here we go. The first caption is the husband in his minibus, because it looks like a bus, driving to and from someplace. The next thing we know, we see him under the sink working, and he's got this piece in his hands, and he says, huh. So the next thing we see is this van going and coming back. Then he's under the sink again. And you look and it says, uh-oh. And the next caption is the van going and coming back. And he's standing there at the sink again and it says, threaded seal tape. And the next thing you see is the bus going one way and coming back. Here you go, ladies. The wife comes over to the sink and says, is that thing done yet? No. The wife says, how's it going? And the husband says, great. The sink isn't fixed, but the hardware store gave me their Outstanding Customer of the Day award. Ladies, how does that apply? It applies very well. The wife was not critical of her husband, but she was there supporting him. How's it going? She saw him running back and forth, all the hard labor he was putting into something he had no idea how to fix. And he wasn't about to ask for help. But rather than pointing it out, the good wife simply asked, "How's it going in support?" She didn't say, "Pull up your Depends."
I don't wear Depends, by the way.
It's okay. She was telling secrets this morning that you need to. Yeah, we all know it now.
I've been stalled.
Yes.
Why are you turning red?
Oh, told you we're going to have fun today. You people who weren't in discipleship, you missed it. You got to come to discipleship. God is doing awesome things with us. Ladies, turn to Genesis 2 and 18. Genesis 2 and 18. God loves us, people, and He wants us to understand how much He loves us. He wants us to know that we each have a purpose, all of us. We're not this cosmic mess that just happened over billions of years and these molecules smashing into each other and all of a sudden life happens. No, we were purposed, we were planned from the very beginning, and all of life shows us that there is an intelligent designer that created all this stuff, because it would take eons of eons of eons of eons of billions of years to have this happen accidentally. There is a designer who designed our world with age because He is able to do that. And God has a purpose for you ladies. And what is the very first purpose that He gives? He says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone, and I will make him a helper suitable for him." Now, folks, I want you to understand, God there is not saying that He is making a lesser vessel. He said, "I am going to make a helper suitable for him." In fact, in the Hebrew, it says, "And I am making a zir kenegdo," which is woman's first name. Just as Adam's name was Adam from God, "And I am making a zir kenegdo." That was your name. You were given the name Eve after sin, and God gave Adam headship over the woman. Because up until that time, the only one who had headship was God. Because God made man and woman equal partners. You need to hear that. Sin brought about the order that we now have, ladies. A zir kenegdo, by the way, in Hebrew means guardian angel or guardian messenger. It's the same word He uses towards Himself. Okay, He calls Himself. It's a name. He calls Himself. "And I will be Israel's azir kenegdo," guardian messenger. "And the angel of the Lord appeared," and the angel of the Lord appeared. That's exactly what it's talking about. The woman was meant to be that representative, as man was representing God on earth and having dominion over the earth. God needed somebody between man and He to carry the message to make sure it got through. That was woman's job. Why do you think Satan tempted the woman and not the man? Because if he could get the message screwed up, he'd screw up everything in between. How many of us have ever played a phone company? Satan knew what he was doing. All I have to do is get in the middle and mess that message up, Because the message was already given, don't eat of the tree of the in the middle of the garden, for when you do, you'll surely die. And he questioned it. He put doubt in their mind. He messed up the message. So what did they do? They ate of the tree. Ladies, you have a purpose. It's one of the reasons why you see more women in church. It doesn't mean that you are more faithful. It doesn't mean that there's anything more between you and or anybody else. But I want you to understand, it's part of your original call. That you were to hear from God, that you were to reach out to God. And men, they were to be our helper. They were to be our equal partner. Because when the two get married, if we're in Christ Jesus, what does it say? The two become, not two become two, the two become one. That's equal partners. Jesus restores us back to the original. So ladies, when your husband is just flubbing up and flubbing up and flubbing up, you don't need to point it out. What you need to do is encourage him and maybe give him a little nudge. Okay? And oftentimes that nudge can simply be a word of prayer. Rather than telling him what to do, because boy, ladies, how many of you like to be told what to do? Right? But if we pray, well, I'm going to pray that God shows you that there's a hotline on the internet that will get you the help you need. Okay, you know, just saying. Believe me, I wired up a mill by the internet. It's amazing what you find out when you look for help. Second scripture I want you to look at here. Proverbs 31. In fact, this is where we're going to land this plane. I hope you had fun today. This is just so much fun for me. I just love it. Proverbs 31, verse 10. And I am going to open my Bible for this one because, unfortunately, they don't give me the whole thing and I need to be able to read more than what they give me there. Proverbs 31, beginning in the 10th verse. Ladies, there is so much the Scripture says, but we'll get into that here in just a bit. From verse 10, we read these words, "An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchants' ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while in the still of night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.'" Ladies, God has so much desire for you. The world has kind of turned in on women because we have a man-led society, and it's not cool. Okay? We're fighting for equal pay even here and now, and we're in the 21st century for women. So there's still that tension out there. But that doesn't mean go out there and burn your bra and take a feminist point of view, because that's not pleasable to God either. But remember the position to which God has given you and to me and to our kids. If we all look to what God wants, God will take care to us, and He will see to it that all our needs are taken care of. One of the greatest things that I take away from this proverb is a scripture that attains to all of us. Think not more of yourself than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment. Okay? I'll tell you right now. We began with it, we're going to end with it. Yeah, watch me, Chris. You don't need to put me up that high. How many of you know what pluggers are? Pluggers are middle-class people, okay? We just get along. We just keep going about it every day of every day of every day. We're the middle-class America. We're the pluggers of America. We're the backbone of America. We're the ones who keep it strong. Get this. I love this. It's a picture of an old guy sitting in an old pickup truck with all kinds of junk in the back of it, right? It says, you're a plugger if you started out with nothing and still have most of it. And you're just fine with that. It's about not wanting it all, but wanting what God wants you to have and then being responsible for it. Because, brothers and sisters, the time will come when we will get it all. And are we going to be responsible for it? We need to learn that now. We need to learn it here. There are so many more scriptures that I could turn to, because I'm going to tell you right now, there are scriptures that are very specific that speak about women. There are scriptures that are very specific that speak about men. There are scriptures that speak about kids. But the reality is, this book was written for each and every one of us, from the beginning to the end. Everything that is in it pertains to every one of us. How do you know what's in there unless you read the book? How do you know what God expects from you unless you read the book? How do you know how to live your life unless you read the book? It's called the Bible for a very clear reason, because it is basic instructions before leaving earth. Did you get that? Basic. Okay? Not advanced level. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Because when we get in the presence of the Father, He'll have eternity mapped out for us. This is just to get us through 84 years. Talk about a manual. How are you doing on it? I've had to read mine so many times, I've had to buy several because I keep wearing them out. I suggest you do the same. Because guess what? I find chapters in here that I swear weren't there 2 weeks ago. I'll find myself in the midst of a situation and I think, God, He's never spoken on this. And I open my word, and all of a sudden, there it is. And it's, oh, my word. Yes, that's right, Lord, it is your word. I'm so sorry. Brothers and sisters, there is a way that is right. God wants us to understand it. He wants us to have fun with it, okay? But He also wants us to follow Him. Take up your cross and follow Him. That's living a circumcised life in your home. Being who Christ wants us to be. I know next week, every one of you, or today, you're all going to run home and grab the funny papers and see what God has to say to us today. As I was saying when I started, one of the things I would love to do is actually have a Bible study where, not that we use the funny pages, but that you use the newspaper. You bring a newspaper in, you would be surprised how you can turn a simple, ordinary newspaper article into one of the greatest teaching tools that you'll ever have, especially with brand new Christians. Because we can all relate to the things of the world. But how do we relate to God? Well, we relate to God because we know what's in the book, or we're getting to know what's in the book. So let's use the world to teach the relevance of the word. There's a concept for you. I just did it using the funny pages. Isn't that funny? Would you pray with me? Father God, we have so much to learn. We think we've got it all figured out, and all we have to do is turn to the funny pages and realize we don't. But Lord, if we would turn to the pages of your word, we would truly figure it out. So Lord, I pray that as we try to live this circumcised life, that you'll help us, that you'll guide us to that truth, that you'll bring people into our lives and bring us peace with yourself and with each other. Lord, thank you for stretching us. Thank you for loving us in spite of who we are. And Lord, that's where we began with our songs today. That where we are, Lord, that's where you found us. But you don't keep us there. You move us forward. So, Father, help us move each other forward, that we may live that circumcised life, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.